phone and give us a call. Sylvia, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I'm just ringing out to say that I'm an adult student. I'm attending a high school in Christchurch rather than university.
What?
And I'm really enjoying it.
What made you decide to do that?
Well, I've got a couple of kids, and I'm always saying to them that to get a good education. So I thought I'd better go out and get one myself to, you know.
To better yourself, yep.
To better myself, yes.
So what courses are you taking in high school?
I'm at Hackney College in Christchurch.
Ah, yes. Our college has been in the news a lot lately.
Yeah, it has. And I'm doing computers and literacy and Maori language.
Yep.
And everything else.
And how are you finding it?
Excellent. This is my third year there.
Third year, okay.
Yes, and it's excellent. And it's a lot different to when I was at high school. It's a lot easier, not as strict.
Yep. What's the reaction of other students? Are there any other adult students there for a start?
Sorry?
Are there any other adult students there?
Oh, yes. It's about, I'd say about 500 or 600.
Oh, okay. So yes. It's a well-organised sort of integrated system of...
Yes, and also attend Thursday nights. I've got a Hackney College too, doing a conflict resolving one,
yep.
Which is very interesting.
And what's the reaction like from the younger students? So they obviously, with that many adult students around, I guess they just take it all in their stride.
Yes, they do actually. They're very good. Because we've got all sorts of people there, from Somalians to South Africans to... By everything, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They just take it in their stride, yes they do. Yes.
Excellent. Any tensions on campus at all?
Sorry?
Any tensions?
No.
It's all pretty easy.
Yeah, I'm going now.
All right. You have a good night.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. 0800-309-399, 0800-309-399. Bob.
Hey, man.
G'day.
Yeah, well, you were talking about crackpots and government, so... I hope I can just change the subject a wee bit.
Yep.
To Helen and her lack of, or principles and lack of.
Yep.
With the closer economic ties with China.
Yes.
Hey.
Well, it's interesting where the government's taking us on that one.
Well, I'd say we let them get out of Tibet and then, hey, let's have another look at it then.
Helen's argument is one that says, look, the whole world is trying to do a deal with China, and if we're not in at the ground floor, we're going to miss, and the best way of achieving change with China is to help them change their economy, make them see the error of their ways through the hand of friendship, and do it that way.
Oh, dear.
What do you buy? Do you buy that?
Ooh, I wouldn't have an answer to that one.
I mean, I must admit that... there is some truth to it. By the same token, if that is the case, then why was the Labor government, of which Alan Clark was a part, so anti-South Africa to the point of cutting all ties, even economic embargoes were placed on South Africa by the Longy Labor government? So, you know, if that's the philosophy, then why is it applied to South Africa and not applied to China?
Yeah, gee, I had a thread of thought too. It's just disappeared for the moment. Oh.
Well, you get that with thoughts from time to time, Bob. Have a good night.
Okay.
Cheers. 0800-309-399. Charles, hello.
Good evening, Ian.
G'day.
I went and saw the Passion tonight.
Yep.
Our church had booked out the theatre in St. Luke's, and I thought it was a very, I thought it was very accurately done.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was that gruesome at all.
That's the thing. I went to it in sort of trepidation, given all the negative reviews, and this is the most violent thing ever made. And it didn't turn out to be like that in the slightest. As I said, there's more blood in the movie Jaws, and more horror, for that matter, in the movie Jaws, which, you know, kids as young as 13 were watching.
Yes, absolutely. I had one question about it, though, which you may be able to answer. When the devil, as Jesus was being... tortured,
yep.
in the courtyard, I think it was, courtyard-type setting,
yep.
And the devil came by with a young child. Who was that? Was that the Antichrist?
I think that is some Catholic imagery, I think, that Mel is drawing on from the Middle Ages and themes and so forth. It's not biblical in that sense. It's what I would call artistic license. I guess it's raising the point. I mean, you know, the battle between good and evil is central to the issue of why Christ came to earth. And the battle between God and the devil is central to the whole Christian story.
Absolutely.
And so, although I know some critics have gone over the top and say, oh, you can't have images of the devil in this movie and you can't have little demons haunting Judas, I'm quite sure that Judas was haunted by his demons as he hanged himself and went through it all. I'm quite sure those things were appearing in his mind. And that, you know, he was a tortured soul. But how do you explain that in a movie? The only way you can explain it is by depicting it.
Absolutely. Yes. Now back on to something else. John Tamahiri and the Maori Party.
Yep.
Do you think this is, what's your thoughts on that? Do you think he'll walk or they haven't got the guts, have they?
I don't think he'll walk. The other thing too is, I mean, is a Maori Party going to fly? I mean, who speaks for Māoridom? Who says, just because I'm brown, that I speak for all Māori, and that somehow my agenda meets with all Māori? It would be like starting up a white party or a Pākehā party.
Yeah.
And, you know, who buys into that argument? I would think, as I've heard from callers tonight, which you would have missed seeing as you were watching the movie. But we've had a number of Māori callers tonight who are insulted at some of the things that are happening and saying, look, you know, we're big, we're grown up, we have worked hard for our incomes and our success in life. We're not wanting handouts. We're not wanting this and that. And who are these people to speak for us? And good on them for standing up and saying that, because there's a lot of Māori out there who haven't had their voices heard. Because there's a grievance industry out there that's been taking up most of the media spotlight.
Mm. And interesting too, Helen Clark copying off John Kerry with the Bring It On statement.
Yeah, John Kerry goes like this, Bring It On! And Helen Clark's one that they played on Friday, Bring It On. It was such a contrast.
Yes.
So you could tell she was reading from a script, not talking from the heart.
And do you think that Kerry's got a chance?
Kerry's interesting. The media in the US desperately want Kerry to win, but the flip side of that is the mainstream media are not reporting all of Kerry's faults, which include massive political bribes, include his wife, who is the heiress to the Heinz Wattie. Well, to the Heinz fortune.
And, of course, Ted Kennedy's backing.
Yeah, Ted Kennedy's backing. But his wife is vehemently donating things to various pressure groups, and even there are some links to allegedly to terrorist groups in the Middle East through donations that her she and her company have made. So there's a real hornet's nest and a rat's nest surrounding John Kerry, but because he is the great white liberal hope, this stuff is not being reported by the Washington Post or the New York Times or the Los Angeles Times, so, you know, how many Americans are aware of it? Not as many as should be, perhaps. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Kerry, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting election.
Wait and see.
Indeed. Thanks for your call. 09-309-399-800-309-3099. It is 20 minutes away from 10, and we're talking to Penny. Hello.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Yeah, Penny.
Yeah, situation normal, never a dull moment. I've just got a couple of comments to make about quite a big article in the Herald today where, in my considered opinion, Watercare have rolled out chief apologist for Watercare, the ex-deputy mayor for Auckland City, Bruce Hucker, to put in a good word for them, because apparently Auckland consumers can expect a reduction in the cost of water if a $10 million credit from Watercare services is passed on by local water retailers. And Hucker's saying what a great achievement this is, rah, rah, rah. Well, people just need to remember that it was the ex-deputy mayor, Bruce Hucker, who was the one on the 10th of August 2000 who moved the motion that the Auckland City Council confirms its support for the Waikato pipeline as the next major augmentation of bulk water supply to the Auckland region. He was the main one that pushed that. And one thing that people might be interested in knowing is that apparently Watercare get money from companies who pay Watercare so that they can add their trade waste to the sewage. And I have heard they get about $10 million, which means that you can't actually recycle the sewage because it's got all these chemicals and things in it. Now, I want to do an official information request to just get the exact figures there, but, yeah, so where did that spare $10 million come from?
Indeed.
Yeah, anyway, I think that the key thing is that Watercare are really twitchy about Annie King's court case. It's had huge publicity, and, yeah, that as far as their statement that the treated water is pure and safe to drink, I'd just like to state again that according to official information replies from Watercare, they have admitted they do not know what contaminants are in the water. They don't know the effect of chemicals in combination. They don't know the bioaccumulation effect. They haven't done the catchment reviews. There have been no public health risk assessments. So,
and apart from that, Auckland has got nothing to worry about.
No, that's right. So I think that this is rolling out whatever little bits of good possible news they can have to try and make themselves look better.
They know, Penny, they know you're on their case. Thanks for your call. 09309399, and when we come back, questions.
Let's take a minute to celebrate anniversaries and
good evening, folks. Questions is back again with bells on. You have said the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, allows Christians to march onward to war and state executions, in fact, all legal killing. More on this in a moment.
Why do we never get an answer when we're knocking at the door? Get a thousand little questions about hate and death and war. It's where we stop and look around us.
And if you want to send us a question, email editorial@investigatemagazine.com or send me a letter, Ian Wishart, Radio Pacific, Private Bag, Ponsonby, Auckland. Question, you have said the sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder, allows Christians to march onward to war and state executions, in fact, all legal killing. Please explain where abortion, legal killing, fits into the picture. Answer, your question is timely, but with respect, I think it needs to be refined slightly. You talk of war, state executions, and abortion all falling within the category legal killing, presumably because the state authorises it. Certainly in the case of abortion, you could only call it legal killing if you anchored such a claim in state law, because it is certainly outlawed in the Bible. Now, you are entirely correct in phrasing the sixth commandment as thou shalt not commit murder. Although some Bibles loosely translate the word as kill, the word used by Moses is more precisely translated from the ancient Hebrew as murder. So where do war, executions, and abortions fit into this mix? Firstly, God warns that a person who commits murder is to be put to death themselves. This is the penalty for shedding human blood deliberately. The execution itself is not murder because it is sanctioned by divine law revealed in the Bible. Although Jesus Christ did not directly comment on the sixth commandment, he effectively restated it in the New Testament in several places. One example is Luke chapter 20, verse 9, the parable of the tenants. In this parable, Jesus talks of the owner of the vineyard who sends servants to help the tenants managing his vineyard while he's away. But the tenants keep on beating up or murdering the servants that the owner sends. Eventually, the owner of the vineyard sends his son to sort things out. But the tenants occupying the vineyard kill the son as well. Jesus finishes by saying, what then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. The penalty for shedding blood is death in more ways than one, spiritually as well as physically. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus uses a similar analogy of his own divine justice when he says at verse 27, but those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. Elsewhere he warns to not be afraid of those who can kill the body, be more afraid of the one who can cast your soul into an eternal hell. The commandment not to murder and its associated punishment of death has certainly been used as a justification for war, but in the Bible only in limited circumstances. Many people who have difficulties with Christianity focus on the Old Testament and what appears to be a God of war. The Jews are always at war, always killing somebody, or so it seems. But it isn't until you read those Old Testament stories line by line that you see the real reasons for bloodshed. On some occasions, the wars were a direct order from God, and the reason was because the opposing side was inevitably horribly morally corrupt, even indulging in human sacrifice. On such occasions, the Israelites were usually ordered to wipe out all trace of their enemies, although occasionally women and female children were absorbed into the Jewish community. When God ordered Israel to go to war, the Jews always won. But when the Jews started wars of their own, they always lost, God's punishment on them for exceeding their authority. The overarching reason for all of this, of course, was that God had chosen the Jewish race as the race from which the Saviour of all mankind would be born, and he did not want the Jewish people or their culture becoming corrupted by pagan tribes and practices. Nothing was going to interfere with that, and any tribal culture that got in the way was destined for the historical dustbin. And so to abortion. Although war in some circumstances, and execution in some circumstances, are approved of in the Bible, abortion never has been. The law of Moses records that the penalty for deliberately causing the death of an unborn child is itself death, although if the deed was an accident, a lesser penalty applied. Abortion even today remains murder, the penalty for which in God's eyes remains death. The only out clause, if you like, is the very important one, repentance and forgiveness of Christ preached in the Gospels. There's one other factor in all of this, the issue of blood. There is something more than symbolic about the status of blood as it relates to spirituality in the Bible. When God made his covenant with Abraham in the Old Testament, it required the blood sacrifice of certain animals. Blood sacrifices were required throughout the Old Testament, and when Jesus Christ died, he did so as a blood sacrifice on behalf of all humans. The spilling of innocent blood has been a cornerstone of satanic rituals since the year Dot, and pagan religions around the world have used blood sacrifice or human sacrifice to reach their ideas of God. When people, particularly young women in this country, suffer panic attacks or other forms of mental illness, they often resort to cutting themselves, not to kill themselves, but because the spilling of their own blood is a form of release for them. Little wonder then that blood and killing are major themes of right and wrong in the Bible. They seem to have a spiritual significance that even non-Christians can sense. Hope that wraps it up. Questions for another day, we'll do some more tomorrow. You can send your question to editorial@investigatemagazine.com or a letter to Ian Wishart, Radio Pacific, Private Bag, Ponsonby.
If you want a deal to condensation, mould, mildew and mustiness in your home...
From anywhere around New Zealand.
Welcome back, folks. Harmony, hello.
Yeah, well, I'm still not voting for Bush. After all that.
Well, wait till I finish up in a couple of weeks' time and tell you what John Kerry has really been up to.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Okay, well, actually, I can tell you something.
Okay.
There was a report over the weekend quoting one of his former commanders, an admiral in the U.S. Navy, and John Kerry apparently came close to being censured on a number of occasions for deliberately killing civilians during the Vietnam War.
Whoa.
He was very keen on it. He was quite bloodthirsty.
Is that right?
Mm.
Maybe that's what we need.
Maybe it is. Another bloodthirsty thing.
I'm just part of the anybody but Bush camp, you know.
I've
always been there. I'm going to stay there. I would vote for Mickey Mouse.
Hey, you're honest. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But actually, I wanted to have a little word about the police, and the Motueka police particularly. Last year, I had a theft occurred in my operation, and I didn't call the police right away because I was trying to see if I could discover the answer myself. And when I finally sort of came up against, dead ends in all directions, I rang the police.
Yeah.
Now, they are 20 minutes away from where I was parked up, and I'm saying they were there in a half an hour. And, I'm just saying it wasn't an emergency, but they seemed to be quite concerned and sort of walked me through the whole thing, and they encouraged me to do as much of the investigative work as I could, because I had a lot more clues and leads on who might have, you know, done such a thing, and I think eventually the pressure put on sort of forced the perpetrator to the surface, and then we walked through the whole process of what are we going to do? Are we going to charge him? Are we going to, you know, slap him on the wrist and whatever? And once we agreed that the person was to front up to the police, we let them talk it out, and I think we reached a reasonable solution. So there was a fair amount of mediation that went on, and I was quite impressed actually with it, that they weren't sort of, you know, necessarily trying to play everything by the book, but try to use common sense. So I had a very positive experience with the Motueka police.
Which is good to hear, and they need some praise in these tough times.
Yeah.
Hey.
And the other thing I wanted to talk about was Passion of the Christ. I went last week.
Yep.
And I was sort of bracing myself to be shocked I wasn't really shocked. I was actually felt sort of my understanding of the final days was enhanced, you know. And I think I felt deeper the pain and the reality of the whole situation, you know. And I particularly felt some compassion towards Pilate when you saw the attempts that he made, you know, to try to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't really get that a lot of times, you know. Pilate's oftentimes, you know, portrayed as maybe in a different light.
Well, it's interesting, too, in regard to Pilate, because one of the issues, we don't know a lot about Pilate from history, but what has surfaced is interesting, and it appears that the crucifixion of Christ made such an impact, obviously, with your eclipse and your earthquake and a whole host of other bits and pieces that floated around with it in the resurrection. But according to reports from the second century, Pilate actually filed a report back to the emperor about the events surrounding this. It was called the Acts of Pilate. It's referred to in a couple of ancient Roman writings where he explains what on earth went on there because of everything that flowed from it. So I think that the event probably had quite an impact on Pilate.
And that was actually well portrayed too. I thought the acting was brilliant.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole thing.
I love, too, the ancient languages. I found that the subtitles did not interfere in the slightest with the movie, and just listening to the Latin and the Aramaic.
Yeah.
It was,
and the violence that they spoke of was certainly by no means gratuitous.
No.
You know, I mean, there's a lot more gratuitous violence that you see in every movie that's going down.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, it was... It hurt. It was painful, but at the same time, you knew it was a movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, you know, if you had been in a situation of actually having to witness something like that, it would have been a totally different story. You know, it would probably make you sick.
Yeah, I agree.
But you know, I'll probably go back and see it again at some point. And I'm not sure about the R16. There's some, you know, 12-year-olds that I think probably couldn't handle it, and there's other ones that can.
That's the thing. I think
it's a parental thing. You know.
I agree with you.
Mm.
Go on, you mate.
Okay, Ian.
Cheers. It is, that's the end of the show for me. I'll be back tomorrow from 7. We'll do questions again tomorrow night, 9:45. Ray will be manning the phones and producing the show as per usual. Alice is next. Thanks for a great night back. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night. God bless.